Well, good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. And boy, is there a lot going on in our country. And guess what? It has something to do with today's guest, because the selection of Joe Biden, not the election, the selection of Joe Biden is going to be a hot topic today. We're going to be speaking with Jeff O'Donnell. He is a forensic computer expert. He has worked with Dennis Montgomery, the gentleman who designed the hammer and scorecard systems for the CIA. And he's also the whistleblower of that being weaponized against the American people. Jeff works with Mr. Montgomery almost every day. We're going to be hearing the inside story of how the election of 2020 was stolen and how it's still in effect today. Join us on the other side of the break.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. And today our guest is Jeff O'Donnell. Jeff is a forensic computer expert. He has been working on the forensics of the 2020 and the 2022 elections. And he has really got a lot of information to share. So I won't bore the audience with my projections on this. I'll turn it over to Jeff. Jeff, welcome to the program. Thank you, my friend, for joining us. You have got an awful lot of information that you have determined, and we did not have a fair and open election in 2020 or 2022, did we?
No, in my expert opinion, no, nothing even close to it. The methods that were used were far ranging and many, and a lot of time and money was put into subverting these elections. And you know, it's taken 2 years, and we're still finding out and discovering, new things, the methods and sources, as it were, that were used to do that. And, it didn't just magically start in 2020 either. In looking at the 2020 election and things past then, we also see echoes and evidence of that going back in time, many elections into the past. So I believe that 2020 was the culmination, as it were, of the technology and the methods that they had been developing for decades, frankly. And it all came together because the only missing piece to get total control of our elections was to find a way to talk people into voting by mail, mostly or in large numbers, because then you skip that important actually having to have a person meeting a person way of voting, and lo and behold, 2020 came around and the pandemic, and they never letting a good crisis go to waste, they used it, and that was sort of the final piece that brought it all together for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I read a book clear back in 1992 called Vote Scam, and it was written by the guy who originally wrote some of the software, designed some of the software that went into the computerized voting. And he testified before the U.S. Senate in 1992 or early 93. And he told them, the U.S. Senate, that if they went to computerized voting, there was a good chance that we would never have another honest election. And now that's been 21 years ago that they talked. No, wait a minute, 31 years ago. Holy smokes, time flies when you're having fun. Anyway, what you came across was information from all different areas, and they were getting into flipping votes by computer from remote locations around the world. There's a whole series of things that went into that. Please tell our listeners kind of how all these different things came into play.
Well, thank you, Dan. I want to first point out that it's not like that I've been working in a vacuum. There have been a number of people across the country who have done a great job digging into things. When I got into it, one of the goals I had when I looked around the country was to try to bring together this information from all these different places and counties and states, and not only make it available to people in other parts of the country, but then also start to try to correlate it, because this wasn't about Colorado being stolen or Nevada being stolen or Georgia being stolen. This was a multi-state conspiracy to steal an entire presidential and other elections. When you understand that, things begin to, I think, become a little clearer. Now, as for how things came together, anybody who says with a straight face that they point one thing and they say this is how they stole the election, they're wrong, with respect, because this was an effort all over the country, with 50 states and 3,100 plus counties and thousands upon thousands of precincts. Some methods would work in one place, some methods would work in another place. Combinations of methods would work in one place. It was a very well thought out, to give the devil his due, plan. So, yes, you did have external access coming in from other countries. You also had, but that wouldn't have worked without the incredible voter registration padding, which actually began before the 2018 election. which wouldn't have happened if you did not have all of these mail-in votes for them to be able to just arbitrarily add the apparently, you know, if you look at them, they look like, right, you know, real votes, but they're not. You know, these mail-in votes, you know, 2,000 mules did a great job of demonstrating that, and I see it. You know, it's like I myself and my partner at the time, at one point we were talking, and it's like, you know, we had these pieces and there was a missing piece, and it's like, you know, all of this would make sense if we knew how they were, you know, maybe we're getting a whole bunch of falsified mail-in ballots in at the very beginning of the election. And then it was probably 2 weeks later we saw the trailer for 2,000 mules, and it's like, yes, that's it. The whole ballot mueling thing, that was a very important piece of the puzzle that I was working on. So you know, you had your, you know, a combination of you know, fraudulent mail-in votes, computer manipulation, external manipulation, and well, something that you know that often gets missed is that I think that a lot of the time the external connections, to our voting systems and our Secretary of State systems and that sort of thing, provided part of the feedback loop as well, because you're not going to spend billions and billions of dollars and all the effort on this on an effort to steal the election and not watch it minute to minute to make sure it's working. That is what enabled them. You know, it is my firm belief that, for instance, on election night, they thought they had Florida. Florida was one of the states that was in the books for them. They made a mistake when they did their own forecasting of what was actually going to happen in Florida, and they couldn't do it. And when they realized they lost Florida, there are signs not only in real life but in the data of panic. All of a sudden, Michigan and Wisconsin were must-haves, where before they weren't. Suddenly, Georgia was a must-have when before it wasn't. It caused them to have to the middle of the night on election night, and when you look at the things that happen in the middle of the night, they're well documented in these and other states. That was a panic reaction because they almost blew it at the very end. But because they had, I believe, very close feedback loops, they knew what was going on and how well things were working everywhere, they had to go to some other methods. They had to go to a plan B or maybe even a plan C to go ahead and do that. But, you know, this story is very well told, not only by the contemporaneous reports of what was going on, you know, on the ground and what we've seen, but it also shows in the data as well. So we have a, I think, a very clear picture of what happened now. We only have so much detail as far as the specifics on who's, you know, the who. We all have our chief suspects, but it's you know, we still have to go a little farther to make our case as to the specific individuals and corporations and foreign entities that were actually involved in this. But their fingerprints are there, mm-hmm. If we had a functioning Justice Department, this would have been over a long time ago. You know, if I say this a lot, I apologize for repeating myself, but if they'd had this much on Al Capone, he'd have gotten the chair very, very, very early. So we have to do their job until we can raise the volume level on this to the point where the people and the judiciary and hopefully our legislators cannot ignore it anymore. And that volume has steadily increased now for 2 years. I'd say right now it's at a pretty good roar, and it's going to get louder very soon.
Well, they did an effective job, Jeff, in demonizing anybody that questioned the election. And they did that through a process of intimidation. The January 6th is a perfect example of that. They attacked the people who were there just to make sure that the Congress and the Senate would deal with all the abnormalities before they rubber stamped the election. And that was why everybody was in Washington, D.C. I was there as well. I didn't go to the Capitol, but I was there as well. I was in standing in front of the president in the ellipse, probably, I don't know, 50 yards away, something like that, from the president. And I heard the entire thing. We saw the provocateurs out in the area, in the audience, because I had been to so many Trump rallies before then and would never heard anybody trying to incite the kind of violence that the people were trying to do there. It was obvious that the thing was a setup. They were trying to get people to do things that they wouldn't normally want to do. And this is the kind of crap that's been going on now for 6 years, 6.5 years, because they thought they had the fix in 2016. And in fact, they did, but it just wasn't quite enough, was it?
No, it wasn't. And I was at the ellipse that day as well, Dan. What a day it was. And I hope that there comes a day, and I pray that there comes a day that is looked at by history, by the future, rather, looking back at history as probably the greatest stand for freedom ever made by that many people in this country, because that's exactly what it was. And it frightened the powers that be, and they do not like to be frightened. And everything has, you know, has happened since then, which travesty upon travesty since then. You know, they really are running your typical left-wing coup handbook. Because, you know, what do you do? You know, you find a way to get into power, usually through a stolen election. Then you demonize / imprison / sometimes even kill the person who was in power before that. And then you round up people who are his most ardent supporters, and you persecute them to send a message to everybody else. And that's just a few of the things that are in that playbook that are already in there. What you do to the economy and what you do to the basic structure of the country. They're just running they're running that playbook. And anybody who is even a little bit of a student of history should be as plain as the morning sunrise. Nevertheless, we are winning this. You know, I would say we're winning this, even if it's just the point that we are still here standing,
right,
after 2 years. But we're winning in many more of our concrete ways. I'm getting a thunderstorm here, by the way, and I'm hoping the power stays on. But if I disappear suddenly, it probably wasn't the FBI. It was probably a thunderstorm.
Well, that's good, but try to get back on if you do. Jeff, you know, what you're talking about with the January 6th commission, I mean, it is so obvious what they did. The American people are finally waking up and realizing that this whole thing has been a setup since day one. And even a lot of people who considered themselves liberal are starting to understand the depth of the corruption here. And this has been going on for a very long time, as you said. We haven't had honest elections in quite a while, have we?
No, I don't believe we have. Going back, you know, it's if you wonder what the people who are doing the analysis of all this stuff talk about when we're together, The two biggest running arguments are, how many votes do you think Biden really got? And how far back was the first really stolen election? And we all have our own, it's really funny, we're all within just a little bit of each other on that. But, I'll say maybe Biden got 60 million and other people think, 50. You know, that's the kind of things based upon what we've seen in our analysis. I honestly think that 2000 or 2004 is when things really got cooking as far as election fraud. Could be wrong about that. Of course, records of that era, I mean, records of, 2 years ago were hard enough to get. Records of 20 and 30 years ago are nearly impossible. So we have to go with what we have for that. That's where we are.
We've been seeing stolen elections for quite a long time, but it used to be local control that really did it. Certainly Lyndon Johnson, it was obvious that he didn't win his first three elections, but he had the apparatus in place that he could steal those elections, and he ended up as president. And not only as president, but he replaced John Kennedy, who very obviously got whacked. And I think there's an awful lot of pretty solid evidence that our own CIA and George Herbert Walker Bush had some implications in that, as well as the Texas Mafia, which happened to be very closely connected with Lyndon Baines Johnson. Now, I'm going out on a little bit of a limb here, but I'm going to tell you, this has been going on for too damn long, and I'm getting sick of it. And what happened in 2016, they had the fix in against Trump, and they knew that Hillary's going to win. And even though they had the fix in, Trump was so much more popular than they ever dreamed that he ended up winning that one as a squeaker. And probably in truth, if it had been for the cheating, he probably won by a fairly large margin in that one too.
I agree. And I think some of the things that's going on here, and this is my opinion, the stuff in New York, where they're going after Trump in New York, to me, that has Hillary's fingerprints written all over it. I don't think she's ever gotten over that. She was guaranteed to be president of the United States, and she has never gotten over that. But unfortunately, she can't come out and say, no, you can't have won because we had it all cheated. Ready to go. she can't say that. You mentioned John F. Kennedy, who, of course, he himself should not have probably been elected in 1960.
Right.
The Illinois machine, the Chicago machine, and Bailey, I think that's pretty well, kind of a story you might enjoy about that. I used to know a gentleman who was who worked for the government and was old enough at the time to have actually been involved in the assassination investigation. Not the assassination, the investigation. Shouldn't have got a pause between those two. But he joked and he said that when they got together and tried to decide who was responsible, someone in a room and they said that, well, first of all, we've got to find, let's try to find anybody in Dallas who didn't want to assassinate him that day. And it's really funny. If you look at all the different groups that were against him and, the CIA and the mob and other interests and things like that, it's like, who eliminated the suspect? His own vice president. I mean, it's all of that. But we're kind of that way a little bit now in that, you know, when we're looking at, you know, the judiciary and things like that, it's like, who wasn't involved? That is the problem. Who wasn't involved? Now, I'm not saying one of the things that people do to try to shout down our side is to say, oh, this would have taken a conspiracy of way too many people, and somebody would have talked by now. I hear that fairly often, and that's actually I got into this. I started looking for ways that could have been done that used the least number of conspirators, the least people who had to be actively involved. And this, Dan, this could have been done with less than 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Very easily. We're going to have to go to break. Let's stop on the other side of the break and pick up with that same idea.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at brighteonstore.com. The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel, and today our guest is Jeff O'Donnell. Before the break, Jeff was talking about how so many different aspects of the stolen elections, these tentacles go back a long way. And so what we're talking about right now is how the impact of the election in 2020 changed the whole course of the country. And Jeff, I'd like you to talk maybe a little bit about Hammer's scorecard. You've worked directly with Dennis Montgomery. For our viewers that aren't aware of this, Hammer and Scorecard were two computer programs that were designed by Dennis Montgomery. He was a contractor working for the CIA. And in fact, he designed these programs because they were to basically to spy on foreign interests that were impacting the American security system. And they were also supposed to interfere in foreign elections, but they were never intended to be used against the American people. He became a whistleblower when in 2013, 2012, Barack Obama started weaponizing the Hammer and Scorecard against the American people. Now, let you take it from there, because that's quite a story.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I've gotten to know Dennis extremely well, to the point where I call him a friend now. There's not many more patriotic Christian, for what that's worth, genius men I've ever had the pleasure to meet. He developed this and many other applications, frankly, for our government, CIA, and other agencies as well. He found out that what he had designed to use against our enemies, after this whole after 9/11 period is what we're talking about, the 2000s and that he developed some amazing ways. When he's talking hammer and square prayers, two separate things really. They get used together. Two separate things. The hammer is used to spy digitally on any computer anywhere. connected to just about anything in just about any way. Scorecard was something that kind of goes along with that. But scorecard was specifically designed to change elections. They are two different things. They're both when sorry about the dog. They're both turned when they're turned against the American people, as Dennis found out that they were. He became a whistleblower. The end result of his whistleblowing was having state secret privileges and gag orders slapped on him, so that he could not be an effective whistleblower, could not talk about anything that he was doing, and the attacks on him since mid 2000s have been some of the worst I've seen on anybody, frankly. And so we have the information. He has the information. I've seen enough of it to validate it, which was the story is that Mike Lindell actually purchased the intellectual property of Dennis's software for this from him, which then gave him the right to appoint me to see if what he bought was on the up and up and valid. And many pieces of legal paperwork later, I had the chance to look at it and was able to validate it. So we are proceeding with the analysis of the information. There is so much going on behind the scenes in courts mainly and in the halls of the Pentagon and other places right now, because there are many people who are absolutely terrified of Dennis and what he has, and they with extremely good reason. The information, if it was known in full, is the kind of information that changes the world. When they're making a public face and saying, "Oh, Mike Lindell, you are allowed to release whatever you want about the 2020 election. Go right ahead." That's what they're saying with the nice face. And then with the other face, they're contacting Dennis and saying, "It's treason if he does for you." Okay. I happen to know Dennis has no compunctions about giving his life for his country, but I don't think anybody wants to see Dennis spend the rest of his life in a federal gulag either. That's where we stand, and the analysis of it continues. We're waiting for some key rulings to come down. They're already late. I can't imagine the judge is very happy that the government is dragging its feet on this, on answering the questions which have been posed to them, which they are. So I think it's going to happen. It's one of those things where it technically could happen today. I mean, when it happens, it's going to happen in a hurry. And regardless of what the response is, the government is, we're ready to respond. But there was a whole pause right now, which has gone on, I have to admit, much longer than I would have ever thought it has, because I was naive a little bit when I got into this. And, you know, when it happens, it is going to be a very, very significant moment for our whole country. But in the meantime, we keep working on all the other very, very important work we have to do to save the country and figure out what went wrong with, you know, what happened with the election. Because again, the hammer slash scorecard thing is only a piece of the puzzle. We have lots of pieces. And frankly, we know where the hammer and scorecard fits in the puzzle, which helps us put all those other pieces in place around it. So hopefully one day we'll have this, you know, soon we'll have this puzzle with only one piece missing, and then we can just plunk that piece right in there. And we will know exponentially more at that point, and we'll be able to say exponentially more at that point than we can now.
Well, that's how they do it. They threaten our people, including you and including Dennis Montgomery, with major crimes if you speak out and speak the truth. And the people who stand to lose the most are the people who are committing the treason. And that is the people right now who are in charge of the Justice Department, at the very highest seats of our republic, the very highest positions in our government, and they have been committing treason against the American people for decades now, and they know. And you're right, Jeff, I think the big thing they've got right now is they're scared to death, because they know that when the evidence comes forward that they are going to be, they're going to be standing trial. They very well could be hung by the neck till dead, or standing in front of a firing squad. And these are people at the highest echelons of government, aren't they?
They are. And they're people who have previously been also in the higher echelons of government involved with this. And frankly, they are a little more scary. That's kind of funny to say. Because some of them have put themselves into really interesting positions of power without any accountability, like they had a little bit of accountability when they had a title in the government. So some of them are not to be taken lightly. I'll say that. And another thing about this is, I don't know if I said this in a while, when I first realized the enormity of everything that I was being shown, I think I said, all right, we got to figure out how to save the country without destroying the country. that's an issue, too. When the information is released, it's going to have to be released. The worst thing that could happen is if this comes out in dribs and drabs. A little bit of information here, a little bit of information there. It's just going to incite people, get people upset. It has to come out in a cohesive story, because it is a story. It is a beginning to end story of how we as citizens lost control of our employees, the government. And when we lost it big.
Yeah.
And we gotta get it back.
I know who you're kind of referring to, but I also refer to China Joe as China Joe O'Biden, because we do know that the person actually running the White House right now is not Joe. They're about 3 miles down the boulevard in Washington, D.C., and you're absolutely right. The level of corruption is incredible, absolutely incredible. You talked about this event that you're working on, and when we were off camera, you said, you used the term, this could be nuclear. Please kind of flesh that out a little bit, because I think that's a story worth telling.
Yes. If anybody there out there has followed me or followed Mike, they probably know or have heard the term cast vote record at some point or the other. It's a very critical piece of information that almost every county can produce from their election systems that essentially lets you replay an election from start to finish, or replay what they want you to have thought was the election, start to finish. And we have been accumulating them now since, I think, November 2021 was when I got the very first one and suddenly realized what it was that I was holding in my hand. We now have accumulated so much data from across the country that by May 1st, if not sooner, I'm going to release a comprehensive report detailing the national, I think the right words here that aren't going to get me in too much trouble, the conspiracy to defraud the 2020 election. I don't know how I could have said it any worse than that, actually. But excuse me, it's going to volume 1 is going to come out. Volume 1 touches on 9 key states. They are key because they showed the most manipulation and most consistent manipulation. And it's when you see this report, you're going to see that all these states and all these counties are just the same. That voters in a small precinct in Nevada got out and in some ways voted the exact same as Union County, New Jersey, you know, a big county in New Jersey, or a big county in California. You know, I've given away a couple of the states here. Didn't mean to do that, but there you go. That's what they call it, a teaser. when this drops, like I said, sometime between now and May 1st, it will be it's the culmination of my last 2 years of work put down into one couple hundred page report. And if we can get it into the hands of the right people and get them to read it, which is always the issue, it should forever change how people think about this election again.
Well, Jeff, you mentioned something that I've read before myself, and that is how completely different demographics in completely different parts of the country and completely different age groups, and how there was a consistency in the pattern that would defies reality and couldn't possibly happen without manipulation. And that's basically what you're talking about.
I've quantified it down to very simple numbers that I think anybody who knows numbers at all, like 1, 2, 3, maybe a 4.5 here and there, is going to be able to understand. And it's this particular, again, I'm not going to make the mistake that I said people make earlier. This isn't the only way that 2020 was gotten to, but it was a big way. And it's directly tied to the mail-in votes.
Mail-in votes. We know that the Kraken, the military forensic group Kraken, talked about how votes were flipped, and they actually tracked back the flipping that occurred to the different countries around the world that were involved in this. And certainly I've seen the evidence, and they have the numbers that show exactly how many votes were suddenly flipped from Donald Trump to China Joe Biden, and it happened in a matter of split seconds that they could do that. This is the sort of thing, when you start adding all the pieces together, You're absolutely right. There were a lot of people hated Donald Trump. They would vote against him. They'd vote for, Mickey Mouse over Donald Trump. There is a percentage that were that way. They were that, they hated him that much. But it was not a majority. It was a long way from a majority. And I've seen the numbers too. And my feeling is that Donald Trump probably won that election by more than 20 million votes.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that. I would say that's entirely in line with what I've seen, and I don't like to go here, but bad people rarely support law and order candidates, and there's not much more law and order than Donald Trump. And some of it doesn't need to go much further than that as far as looking at motives.
Yeah, you're right. Well, when you look at, it's funny because I was looking back and I saw the Maricopa County is a perfect example. In Arizona, they have a Trump rally, a car rally that went from south of Tucson all the way through Phoenix. It was like 94 miles long. And then I've seen pictures of O'Biden standing in front of a bunch of empty chairs and six people in the audience. How can you explain somebody like that winning an election when in fact he couldn't even get a crowd of a dozen people to show up to watch him speak?
The same thing repeated itself all over the country in 2022 and things like that. You look at the Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs, you have the exact same thing. And I could name you some other places around the country of what I call basement candidates that took the page from Biden's book, just stayed in their basement because they knew that other people were working on cementing their victory, so they didn't need to. So why go out and do it when it's in the bag?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I know certainly Katie Hobbs refused to even be on the same platform as Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake invited her to debate the issues, and she just absolutely refused. That normally is the death knell for a legitimate candidate. And certainly China Joe did a very similar thing when he hid in his basement in Delaware while Donald Trump was going out and getting 30 and 40,000 people at every single rally he attended, and sometimes as many as three and four a day drawing those kind of numbers.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's something you can look at as a signpost on the road that show us that we are definitely headed in the right direction with what we're thinking. I read something that Democrats are trying to do away with debates for the 2024 election. Not surprising. And not to change the subject, but with time dwindling, something you mentioned earlier, I read with interest that Susan Rice is evidently stepping down from the Biden White House, which is a little bit significant as to why that would happen, because many people suspect that she is kind of the power in the building, as it were, answering to others outside the building, as you obliquely hinted earlier. So it's interesting to know why that's happening and why it's happening now. I don't have an answer to it, but I found it interesting.
Well, they are demonizing us, Jeff, and they're demonizing all of the Trump supporters. That's a serious mistake because we're the majority. We are not the minority. And when you try to get rid of your opposition, you better make sure that they're in the minority, because they're playing with dynamite here, aren't they?
Or you convince the majority that they're not, and that's what they're trying to do. And that's what we can't let happen.
Well, they're doing if you'll pardon my French, a piss poor job of it, because everybody in this country is starting to speak out. I want to give you 30 seconds. Just tell our listeners what you are working on that you would like them to stay in touch with you on.
Oh, please, my website's up there, MAGARaccoon.com. From there, you can get to my Telegram link. For the Telegram link, you can get to my Telegram chat, which is more of a working group. If you want to get and you want to do something, help out with public information requests and data gathering and all that kind of stuff, you would be very welcome.
Okay, well, God bless you, my friend, and stay safe, because you're an important part of the puzzle. We need to get this information before the American people. Thank you for being our guest, and thank you for joining us for Connecting the Dots. We'll see you next Tuesday for another great show.